Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit. Lead to that secret, sacred place with you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Saturday morning. It is an awesome day. It is an awesome morning. It is July 9th, 2022, and this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. I want to welcome everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice this morning. Of course, I'm Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries, and certainly we honor our co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, who hosts this show along with me, and I want to thank her for doing such an outstanding job. We have definitely got a spirit-filled lesson for you on this morning, so we're going to start with prayer, and then we're going to get into our announcements. And we're going to decree our blessings over every individual, and we're going to get to this great lesson. Father God, we thank you. We praise your name. We bless you, Father. We thank you for another opportunity to come before your throne of grace. And Father God, we pray, Holy Spirit, be with us on this morning. Guide this lesson. Holy Spirit, oh God, I have put this message out there. And God, those that need to hear this fresh word, I pray, God, that you'll tune them in on this morning or tune them in whenever they can listen. Because we understand that it is the word that is the reason for it all. And therefore, we cannot take any credit but stand in the midst of your desire, your purpose and plan for our lives. And we submit to that purpose on this morning. We submit to that plan on this morning. We pray even now, God, that you take out anything that's not like us. And God, we pray, God, that you will move us closer to hearing, to walking, to be sensitive to what you're saying to the church in this day and time. Hallelujah. Bless him. Certainly, I want to thank each and every one of you that has tuned in. I want to say I am, thank the Lord, a year older this month, and God has blessed me to be a year older, and I just want to share that with my audience. I also want to share that my sister is out of the hospital. She's in rehab. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But blessings, 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 blessings to the Almighty Creator who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. He is in control. With that being said, we ask and we ask that you consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, especially this blog talk. We certainly want to do great things in the Lord. We celebrated 5 years on last month, and with your continued donations and support, we're going to keep this blog moving. We want to reach bigger. We want to do better, and certainly we want to be guided by his grace and mercy. All donations can be sent to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois 60643, or you can give me a call and you can get the Zelle and the Cash App information. We certainly want to thank you for listening and donating. Those have blessed this ministry in the past, and certainly we thank God for you because we had a grand time on last month. And to every listener in Radio Land, we decree blessings upon you. We pray for you. We pray, God, that he will continue to bless you. We bind the enemy that tries to kill, steal, and destroy. And I just want to say, if you are blessed by this talk show, I pray that you'll give me a call. You can call me. You can email me. Certainly, and you can text me. You know, texting is the new form of communication, 309-750-7584. I can get that one right away. Or you can email me at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. And amazing is spelled A-M-A-Z-E-N. Grace, G-R-A-C-E. MINISTRIES @gmail.com, and it's all one word. And certainly we are on the air every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And if you want the link to click on and certainly hear this lesson after it's completed, you can do so by texting me as well. So let's get into the lesson, praise God. God extended his love and his grace to humanity in an extraordinary way. The word of God became flesh and dwelt within his creation. This act beyond human comprehension was an extraordinary gift of God's embodied presence. In response, people can accept his gift with humility, gratitude, and faith. As a result of this gift, there is a change of identity to becoming the child of God. And of course, we often talked about our ID in Christ in past lessons. And you can go back and listen to those. God's children are tasked with extending his love to others in an increasing disembodied human experience, demonstrated by frequent use of smartphones and social media. God's children can intentionally choose to love others by their physical presence. Let's get into this. Now, the theme for the month of July is I have got a promise. I want you to know that you have got a promise. God has given us a promise. And certainly this lesson today is focusing on the reason for it all. Let's go to the text, shall we? John chapter 1, the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John, first chapter, starting with the first verse. And I am reading the New Living Translation. And it reads, in the beginning was the Word, always already existent. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell all the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created. But the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people. Even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, Father's one and only Son. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the reason for everything. There is a reason or season. We often call in winter time, and when we're getting ready for Christmas, the reason for the season. But there is a reason, starting with R-E-A-S-O-N, reason, everything under the sun. There is a reason why God created human beings. There is a reason why God wrapped himself in human flesh and came to where we are. Let's take a look at the first four books of the New Testament. First, the beginning of John's gospel is unlike the other three other New Testament gospels. Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy and the birth narrative of Jesus, and you can find that in the first chapter of Matthew. Luke's gospel begins with two birth narratives, and you can find that in the first chapter of Luke and the second chapter. And, of course, Mark's gospel skips his birth altogether and goes straight to Jesus' adult ministry, and you can find that in the first chapter of Mark. So, however, the introduction to John's gospel differs dramatically. The Gospel of Mark, of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels because they are similar in their perspectives and accounts of the person and the work of Jesus. But John's gospel stands apart from the others as the writer stresses Jesus' divine identity as the Son of God and the Messiah, John 20 and 31. The introduction of John's gospel draws the reader's attention into referring to the eternity of the Word of God. In the text, John refers to the Word, John 1 and 1 and 14. And in doing so, this is a designation. John is actually reflecting philosophical and rhetorical, thank you, Holy Spirit, concepts common in this day. So in essence, John is using a philosophy approach and a rhetorical approach that is common this day. So he's using the concept that was common in his day, especially when he's using the Greek word logos, L-O-G-O-S, from which we get our English word logic, which refers to the way that philosophers try to make sense of this world. Pagan philosophers use the term to address the way pagan gods communicated with the cosmos and created order. For pagans, the concept of the word was an attempt to make sense of the world and the animating forces therein. But John, hallelujah, upends the pagans' expectations. You know, God has a way to getting his point across. He will use any narrative false gods or false prophets will try to portray. We go back and we look at Moses, and when Moses came on the scene, we understood that God used the concept of their gods to show himself eternal, to show himself the authority of it all. So in essence, what we see here is that John is using the concept that the pagan philosophers use to make sense of who God is, to make sense of God, of John's gospel. The gospel was composed in the second half of the first century by Jesus' own disciple. And certainly this disciple, according to the word, John 21 and 20, John is the disciple that Jesus loved. This was the disciple who testified of things and wrote things in the gospel. So he testified of these things and wrote these things in the gospel according to the word, which is 21 and 24. Let's give you a little background. The author of the book of John identifies himself as, again, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, remember, this is the disciple that as Jesus was on the cross, he tells John, now this is your mother, and Mary, this is your son. And immediately John takes Mary, Jesus' mother, into his home. So this is a disciple that was close to Jesus Christ, and this disciple would also write the book of Revelation. So we find scriptures that indicate this in John 10:24, John 19, and this is chapter 19, verse 26, chapter 21 and 7, and verse 20. Most scholars agree that the Apostle John is the author of this book. So they agree that John wrote St. John, or the last book of the Gospels, and that's the book of John. He would have been the eyewitness to many events recorded in the Gospel of John. So dating the Gospel of John, let's look at the dates. And there are some dates. They say that this book was written between 50 and 95 A.D. Some, however, say that it's most later that the book was written in 95 A.D., although we do not have exact dates of the writings, we know that the first century church was thriving, even amidst the threats of persecution and harassment and heresy that the church experienced and continued to grow. And certainly if we look at the book of Revelations and we begin to look at the period and the time that the church was formed, we are now in the last church age. So we are now in the last of the church age of the book of Revelation. But if we study those churches, if we look at those churches, we begin to see that those characteristics can be found in our churches and our society today. But we're looking at the book of St. John. The author of this book was John, who was Jesus's the disciple that Jesus loved, but also he would have been the last living apostle during that time to write the book of Revelations. Mm-hmm. Now, John writes this book to encourage most of the Jews. He affirms to their Jewish heritage, their nature, as well as their faith in Jesus Christ. He contrasts the Pharisees, who claim to be the true and real Jews. But we also understand in this book of John that it introduces Jesus as who he is, but it also tells you that his own rejected him. So in essence, we have to understand that once you take up the banner and you say that you're going to live this life for Jesus, and you're going to stand and you're going to read the word and you're going to allow this word to permeate in you, you're going to have to walk alone sometimes. You're not going to have very many friends unless they believe the same way you do. So in essence, when we look at the book of John, it summarizes who Jesus is. It introduces Jesus. It tells you who he is, what he does, his role he plays in the eternal plan of God for the world. So in essence, in John, those first 14 chapters, you understand that God, or Jesus, was there in the beginning. Therefore, the reason for it all is we read in 1 John 11 and 12. The writer says, he came, that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become true children of God. It's wonderful to have an opportunity to live in relationship with God. It is sad to say, however, that many of us today have missed the point of God coming to us as a true light. We have allowed sin to control us, insisting on allowing the grace of God to control us instead of allowing the grace of God to direct our path. The Bible says, in all our ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our path. But how many of us venture out on our own accord, on our own thinking, of our own will to do this? But in essence, we are to let the Lord lead and guide us. Let us consider three insights. And let us understand that Jesus is the reason for it all. The reason, first of all, to believers in Jesus, the Son of God, is that he is the guidance in our lives. Jesus is the guidance. He is the person that will lead us. He is the person that will direct us. Believing in Jesus as the Son of God allows the light of Jesus to direct us through our darkness of sin. Jesus, through his death on the cross, rescued us from sin. And I believe that it helps us to avoid the pitfalls of Satan, his trickery and his deception. And it will promote and activate the plan of God for us, his plan and purpose in our lives. We all have plans and destiny in Christ Jesus, and yet we have to allow God's guidance and leadings to allow him to motivate, to move us toward that plan and destiny. And that road sometimes may be hard, it may be confusing, but God will and God is moving us to that destiny. Secondly, the reason for it all is to discover who we are. We don't understand who we are, but or whose we are. That is, we learn more about Jesus and we discover really who we are. We are in a evolving state, becoming more and more like Christ every day. The more we mature in our walk with Christ, the more we are aware of the world that is around us. However, God is recreating us into the creatures he created us to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the old saying, the things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. He's working in me so he can do a work through me. God is working in us to do a work through us, and we've got to become bold and strong. And the word of God came that we may have life, and I say it so often, that we may stand strong in the liberty whereby Christ has made us free. Those old entanglements, we don't have to go back to those old things that keep us trapped, that keep us from moving forward and grip us in fear. Oh, but God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and power. We have power because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Thirdly, the final reason for it all is that so that the light of Christ may shine through us. Oh, the truth of who we are in Christ reflects through the work we do for his cause. Matthew 5:16 reads, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's the New Revised Standard Version. This passage does not promote obstinance. It does not promote selfishness. It promotes doing for others. The focus is on God's glory. The focus is not on ourselves. It is on giving God his light and allowing God's light to shine through us, to know, to reveal who God is. And sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we don't want to send that text or send that message or say that word. But we must understand that God is going to use us the way we are because he understands who we are, and he has made us to be his creation. So God has made you and I, and there are differences between you and I. But God uses those differences to do the work that he's called us. So let's look at this thing in depth. Jesus is the Word. John introduces Jesus as the Word. The word used here is logos. The Greeks understood logos to mean not only the written or spoken word, but also the thought or reasoning in the mind. Yes, y'all, the word helps our mind. The word helps our mind. I remember a prayer from Bishop Mason, the founder of the Church of God in Christ, that said, loose the mind, touch the mind. But he was praying for the mind. And this word will motivate and change our mind. Jewish believers also use the word logos to refer to God and the world, and would have connected this concept to wisdom personified in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. In tandem with wisdom was the ability, in this case, God's wisdom was used to create the universe. Jesus is that wisdom personified. Through Jesus, all things were created. To understand the creation, we must know the Creator. All of these concepts are bound up in the word logos. Let's be clear. Jesus was, is, always will be. He is God. He is the Creator and the source of life. Two, Jesus is the light. Mm-hmm. He's the reason for it all, y'all. John speaks of Jesus as the light. Jesus is life itself, and the life is our light. When we receive this light, Jesus offers his light, replaces our spiritual darkness, and we become more like the Creator. However, many people live in deep darkness, which often connotes sin in the Bible. Even though Jesus is the light to dispel darkness, many people refuse to accept the light of salvation. It's the same today. People are so thoroughly entrenched in their sins and ignorance that they are blind to the light. Are you blind? I just want to know, are you blind? Mm-hmm. God can use anyone to pierce through the darkness. In Jesus' time, God sent John the Baptist to bear witness to Jesus. John the Baptist did not want people to believe in him, but he pointed the way to Jesus. Today, God uses his written word and the power of the Holy Ghost to testify of the light. He uses you and I. He uses you and I to speak a word to that individual that's hurting, or to speak a word to that person that don't know the Lord, that person that's in sin. He uses us as believers. Every believer, you and I, we have to view ourselves as testimonies of the true salvation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And lastly, Jesus reveals God's character. Although Jesus created the world, Colossians 1:6, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. The world did not recognize him as Savior. John 1:10, Jesus came to the Jews first, but most of them rejected him as their Messiah. His gift of salvation is offered freely to all when we do receive Jesus Christ. God gives us the right to become his children, not physically, but spiritually. We are considered his heirs, Galatians 3:29. It says that if you are in Christ, then you are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm so glad I got a promise. I'm so glad that I can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he answers me. When trouble comes, he is right there. Oh, we have an anchor in Christ. You know, we don't look like the world, although we wear the same clothes that they do. Our faith is not in the world. So when trials and tribulations come, when our family members get sick and we call on the name of the Lord and we declare the word of God and God shows up and he performs his word, then the people may not understand, why are you still standing? I'm standing because the word of God cannot fail. I'm standing because I'm standing on the world, on the word that came to life in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm standing on the word that says I will live and not die. I'm standing on the word that says that I am blessed and highly favored. I'm standing on the word that says I am healed, I am delivered, and I am set free. I'm standing on the word that declares my salvation. I'm standing on the word that says I'm an heir to the promise. And because I am an heir to the promise, I can believe God for my life. I can believe God for my healing. I can believe God for those tangible things that I'm looking for him to do in my life. Oh, I just don't stand like everybody else. I don't complain, but I go to the Lord in prayer. And when I go to the Lord in prayer, when I begin to praise and worship God, things begin to happen. Oh, Jesus is the reason for it all. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's not something that is make-believe, but it's true. It is a true fact. And people want to call Jesus a prophet. They want to call Jesus anything but the Son of God. But the Bible tells us that in order to get to God, you've got to go through Jesus. You have got to understand that he is the reason for our salvation. And we have got to cultivate that relationship. You know, in Revelation, the Bible talks about God hates a lukewarm church. And it's, they just despondent. They just indifferent. They just don't care. But we have got to not to allow that spirit to form in us. We have got to continue to stand up and say, I believe what the word tells me to, even though society are doing whatever they feel like they want to do, and it's all right. The Bible didn't mean that. Oh, praise God. The Bible is right. Whatever you may think, the Bible is the promise of God. The Bible is the word of God. Oh, it might have been written years, and there are years and places and places in the Bible, Asia Minor, where it took place, and there are years between when Jesus came on the scene and when John wrote the books, but still, this word of God is active, meaning logos, the result of the word. It is active and it works. It works on us. It works on our healing. It works on our mind. It works on our faith. When we would have gone crazy, the word of God comes along. When we need a financial blessing, the word speaks to that financial blessing. When we need a healing in our body and we don't know what's going on, the word speaks to the healing of our body. So the word was in the beginning and it has come and it's still the reason for everything that we do today. Ah, saints of God, saints of God, I want you to understand, and I want you to know that Jesus is the reason for everything. Jesus is that reason for it all. He knows what you're going through. He knows the problems that you're facing. He knows the path that you have taken, for his glory. So we are going to look up and live, and we're going to live by faith. We believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who influences every action that we take. Knowing the reason for it all is the key to effectively living a life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, God, for the people that are listening to this blog on this morning. I pray, God, that something has been said that encourages them, a word that will break through the yokes of bondage that they might be experiencing. And we bind the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We speak life, and that life more abundantly. We thank you, God, for the things that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the healing. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you, God, for the miracles you performed in us and through us and in our lives on today. We pray, God, that you'll bless everyone on this blog on this morning. We pray, God, that you continue to bless them. We pray, God, that you continue to listen to, strengthen them, Father God. We bind the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy every trial, every situation that they're facing. We pray, God, that you will loose them and set them free and know that you're in control and it's for their making, it's for their betterment. It's just a test to make them stronger in you. And we thank you for your strength. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives on this morning. We thank you, God, for showing up when we know we couldn't have done it ourselves. We thank you for continuing guidance. We thank you, God, for motivating us when we have not been motivated. We thank you, God, for moving us past this lukewarm spirit that's trying to take over in complacency, Father God. But we thank you, God, that you're moving us forward in you, that you're making our minds strong, that you're controlling our minds, and in doing so, you're making our bodies strong. And God, we thank you for blessing us financially. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank each and every one that has listened to me on this morning. I pray that something has been said that has blessed you. And for those of you in radio land that may not be saved, we pray that you will confess, that you will repent of your sins and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And after you confess him as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. I encourage you to get in a Bible-believing church and allow the Word to change you. And if you read the Word of God, if you stand on the Word of God, you certainly will become new because the Word will change you inside out. And we thank each and every one that continues to listen. We thank God and we pray for our assistant who will be on next week. We thank God for her. Well, my co-host, praise the Lord, that assists in this blog talk ministry. If something has been said, I pray again that you just give me a text, 309-750-7584, and just tell me how you enjoyed the show. I see you on next week. God bless. Bye-bye.